All right. We're going through the book of Revelation. Let me kind of summarize. Let me see. Hopefully everyone's been coming. I'm like, oh boy, as we keep going through Revelation, what happens if new people show up and we're like in the middle of the book and they're going to be like totally lost? So let's review here. Jesus writes to the churches during the church age. And then, of course, I believe in the rapture. So the Revelation talks a lot about the 7 years of tribulation. That 7 years comes right out of Daniel, and it's really prophetic to Israel. And so God is going to deal with the Jewish people during those 7 years. I believe that the church gets raptured out before the 7 years of tribulation, where the Jewish people will follow after Jesus. And then at the end of the 7 years, the church comes back with Jesus to the earth. Then we go into the millennium, the 1,000 years that Jesus reigns on the earth. Why do I believe in the rapture? 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and 17. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven. He'll go into the clouds at the command, at the voice of the archangel, at the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And after that, those of us who are left and are alive, we're going to be changed, transformed, and we'll be caught up in the clouds to be with the Lord. So the rapture, we go up to meet Jesus in the clouds. At the second coming, at the end of the tribulation, we come back to the earth. So last week, we began, the church is raptured out, the Antichrist comes on the scene, and so we went over the judgments that begin to be poured out on the earth. The Antichrist comes. There is war, there is famine, there is plague, there is wild animals, and 1/4 of the earth's population is killed. Now there's kind of a break in chapter 7, which is where we're at, and there's a discussion about 144,000 Jewish evangelists. So turn to chapter 7. So are people going to be getting saved during the tribulation? During the 7 years of tribulation, will people become Christians? The answer is absolutely yes, at least for the first 3.5 years of the tribulation. So in chapter 7, verse 1, this is where we're at. The Apostle John writes, after this I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth. That's the north, south, east, and west, holding back the four winds of the earth to prevent any wind from blowing on the land or on the sea or on any tree. Then I saw another angel coming up from the east, having the seal of the living God. He called out in a loud voice to the four angels who had been given power to harm the land and the sea. Do not harm the land or the sea or the trees until we put a seal on the foreheads of the servants of our God. Then I heard the number of those who were sealed, 144,000 from all the tribes of Israel. From the tribe of Judah, 12,000 were sealed. From the tribe of Reuben, 12,000. From the tribe of Gad, 12,000, and et cetera, down to from the tribe of Benjamin, 12,000. Okay, so there's 144,000 people that are sealed by this angel to be servants of the Lord. I know there are lots of religions that claim they are part of that 144,000. Jehovah's Witnesses believe they're the 144,000, and many other cult groups. But it is clear right here in Scripture, very clear, that these 144,000 are Jewish people from the 12 tribes of Israel that are sealed to be evangelists for the Lord. Now, I guess I need to back up. Last week, do you remember how I shared that there would be an earthquake that would shake the whole world and every mountain and every island would be moved? So I said it was God shaking the earth. And I kiddingly said there are some Christians who think they're going to go through the tribulation and they're preparing. So there's lots of Christians who have a bunker in their yard or in their basement so that maybe they'll avoid the war. And there are lots of Christians who are stockpiling all kinds of food because they know there'll be a famine during the tribulation. And I also recommended that you stockpile all kinds of antibiotics because there'll be plagues. And you'll have to figure out how you're going to deal with animals to cause you trouble. Do you remember this? I was just giving good advice for those of you that are, you know, planning. So someone sent me after last week's sermon, how are you going to deal with that earthquake? So for those of you that think you're going to go through the tribulation and you know there's going to be an earthquake, I have a solution for you. And this is true. You can buy the earthquake bed, okay? So let's hit the lights and let's play this. Do we have volume? Yes, no, maybe so. Oh, yeah.
The idea of an earthquake...
Hit the lights.
...keeps you up at night. Maybe you'd like to sink into an earthquake-proof bed. And we do mean sink. The building could come crashing down and you'd be snug in your...
Coffin bed.
Coffin bed? As one commenter joked, quake provides free burial. Seismic activity would activate the bed, seen here in animations apparently created by a Russian company. The details are sketchy. The bed also contains supplies, though it's unclear.
See, there you go. There's your antibiotics, your food, your water.
Bed, I'd rather take my chances. Poo-pooed one headline, but an expert on earthquake preparedness kept an open mind.
Clearly, if you're able to be in a steel enclosure with supplies, that's not a bad thing. It looks very expensive.
Someone asked, does it come with tourniquets for those of us who can't...
There's actually two companies that make earthquake beds for you, by the way.
Some wondered if shaking triggers the thing, or do you have to worry about the second most common thing people do in bed? Babe, did you feel the earth move? Seismic activity was sensed by this Chinese-made bed, demonstrated in 2012. When the man whistles so rescuers can find him, his companion can't keep a straight face. To simulate a building collapse, it dropped almost 3 tons of concrete on the bed. It remained intact. Some say the latest version could become an oven if an earthquake caused a fire. Quake and bake, wrote one commenter. At least there's a fire extinguisher underneath.
There's a fire extinguisher. I see a gas mask, too.
Thumbs up if you can afford it.
Just keep those thumbs out of the way. Ginny Mo, CNN. New York.
There you go. I am a pastor that helps you to prepare. So... But I hope everyone understands, I'm what's called pre-trib, which means I think the church is taken out. Now, maybe some of you aren't believers. In this case, you might want to look into this, okay? Because you'll be going through the tribulation. So there's 144,000. By the way, that works out to, from the 12 tribes of Israel, are 12,000 people. 12,000 times 12 equals 144,000 Jewish evangelists. In that list of the 12 tribes that's given there in Revelation 7, the tribe of Dan, just so you know, the tribe of Dan is missing. And one of Joseph's sons is put in his place. We believe that's because the tribe of Dan was the first tribe that went into idolatry and led the rest of the Israelites into idolatry. So God is, in the future, does not call 12,000 from the tribe of Dan to be evangelists. Later on during the millennium, God does restore the land to the tribe of Dan, but right now the tribe of Dan is missing in that list. God was like very upset at that tribe. So there are 12,000 or 144,000 Jews who become believers, who are evangelists for the Lord around the world. The question comes up, and they're sealed by God, by this angel. This angel seals them, that they belong to the Lord, that they're his servants. I guess the question comes up, well, how do this many Jews become believers? That you can find 144,000 men who are Jewish virgins to become believers. And I'll show you this in a second. And my answer is, it is the rapture itself that opens the eyes to the Jewish people. So look back in Revelation chapter 1. I think there's just a little hint of that here in Revelation chapter 1. In verse 7, like this could be the second coming or this could be the rapture. Verse 7, Revelation 1, verse 7, look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him. And then it has this line, even those who pierced him. And that's the Jewish people. And all the peoples of the earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. So my theory is that when the church is raptured out to heaven, whether everyone on the earth kind of sees it quickly or whatever, it is at that point that the Jewish people realize that the true born-again church was telling the truth, that Jesus really is the Jewish Messiah. And that's what will cause Israel. Right now, the Jewish people, for the most part, are completely hardened. They're mostly atheists, but they're hardened towards God and hardened towards Jesus. So what is it that is suddenly going to cause, since the tribulation can start at any moment, what is it that is going to soften the Jewish heart that they're all going to turn to the Lord and God's going to deal with the Jewish people for 7 years again as his people? My answer is the rapture does that. When all the believers are taken out, the Jewish people finally realize, whoa, Jesus is our Messiah. And so they come to the Lord. I want you to come to Revelation chapter 13. So there's these 144,000 Jewish evangelists, and they go out and begin to witness to the world that Jesus is the Messiah. But I've already told you, the Antichrist is on the scene. And chapter 13 is the middle of the tribulation, which is 3.5 years. The tribulation is 7 years long. In the middle of the tribulation, the Antichrist is the leader of the whole world at this point. And he is going to make war against all the believers, all the Christians. So in verse 7 of chapter 13, it's talking about the Antichrist. He was given power to make war against the saints and to what? To conquer them. That's just a nice way of saying, and to kill them. And he was given authority, you notice the Antichrist is given authority over what? Every tribe, people, language, and nation. All inhabitants of the earth will worship the beast. They're going to worship, the beast is the Antichrist. All whose names have not been written in the book of life belonging to the Lamb that was slain from the creation of the world. He who has an ear, let him hear. If anyone is to go into captivity, this is to the Christians, you're into captivity he will go. If anyone is to be killed with the sword he will be killed. So the Antichrist is going to begin. He all along, I think, is killing the believers. But in the middle of the tribulation, he is in control of the whole earth, and he is murdering every Christian he can find. So much in chapter 13 is the Antichrist killing the believers that by chapter 14, so come to 14, this is the only other section that we read about the 144,000. I believe by chapter 14, all 144,000 Jewish evangelists are dead. They are martyred by very close to the middle of the tribulation. So chapter 14, verse 1, then I looked, and there before me was the Lamb, that's Jesus, standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000 who had his name and his father's name written on their foreheads. That we believe is the seal that they were sealed with, the name of the Lamb and the name of the Father on their foreheads. Verse 2, and I heard a sound from heaven like the roar of rushing waters and like a loud peal of thunder. The sound I heard was like that of harpists playing their harps. And they sang, the 144,000 sang a new song before the throne. This is the throne in heaven. That's why they're in heaven. They've died. They've been martyred. They sang a new song before the throne and before the four living creatures. You remember them? They're up in heaven, right? The four living creatures, or the four beasts, depending on your version. And the elders, we know there's 24 elders up there. No one could learn the song except the 144,000 who had been redeemed from the earth. These are those who did not defile themselves with women. In the Greek, it's that they're virgins, for they kept themselves pure. They followed the Lamb wherever he goes. They were purchased from among men and offered as first fruits to God and the Lamb. No lie was found in their mouths. They are blameless. So let me see here. So here's the angel sealing the 144,000 Jewish people. Here's a picture of the 144,000 with their harps singing a special song that they can connect to, being those evangelists, but they're now up in heaven. Remember, here's a scene in heaven. That's God on the throne with the Lamb. You got the seven, you got the Holy Spirit. So you got the Trinity in the center. You got the four, they got the four creatures right up front here, but they're spread out. Then you got the 24 elders sitting around, and then they're showing you the 144,000 kind of in the background there. But they've all been put to death for witnessing and being evangelists for Jesus. By the middle of the tribulation, they're all up in heaven. So again, let me emphasize to you that what Hitler was to the Jews is what the Antichrist will be towards Christians. Do you know that I was reading about Hitler, and it turns out that probably the thing that drove him the most and actually was the primary force for him was not for Germany to take over the world. The experts actually believe that was his second motivation. His first motivation was his pure hatred of Jews. Hitler, in 4 years, killed 6 million Jews. There were 9 million Jews living in Europe in that area. He only needed about another year and a half to completely wipe out every Jew. 6 million Jews he put to death in a short period of time, 4 years. Interestingly enough, some people kind of knew that's what he's doing. A lot of people were just naive. They realized he was gathering them into camps, but they had no idea that they never left those camps. 75 million people died during World War II over 4 years. 75 million people. So, that's what? In the 40s. We have weapons that go way beyond that. So you understand, in the first 3.5 years of the tribulation, it'll probably make World War II look like nothing. And you think, well, how can the Antichrist kill 144,000 Jewish evangelists? Wait a second. Hitler, in 4 years, killed 6 million Jews. So you realize the Antichrist will use everything at his disposal to kill all the believers during the tribulation. And by the middle of the tribulation, those 144,000 are in heaven. All right, back to chapter 7, starting in verse 9. Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. After this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude. This is up in heaven, that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne, that's where the Father, the Holy Spirit, and in front of the Lamb, and that's Jesus. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." So, I forgot to tell you something. You'll just have to look at it. But after, in chapter 14 of Revelation, after the 144,000 Jewish evangelists are all up in heaven, the very next verse is that God sends an angel to preach the gospel to the whole world. It's as if, usually God does not use angels to bring the gospel, but it's as if God is like, this is the last time. This is the last opportunity. You've killed all my evangelists. And so I'm now going to send an angel. And if you read the verses, we'll get to it when we get to chapter 14. You will see the angel goes to every nation everywhere to preach the gospel from the air to all the people as a final warning. The last 3.5 years, there is not that many people who come to the Lord because most of the believers are in heaven. Let's talk about nations. How many nations are there in the world? Anyone know? You can just give me a rough idea. Come on, throw out a number. It's a rough...
850.
Way too many. How many? 217. It's actually like 196. So I just go 200. How many people groups? So you don't have to. How many different people groups are there? And the answer is there are 16,000 different people groups. And there are 7,000 different languages. Oh, by the way, let me quiz you here. What is the largest country land-wise in the world? Russia. What's the second largest country? Second largest country is Canada. Third largest country is USA. Okay, now for the super bonus. What is the smallest country in the world? How do you say it? Yeah, that's a good guess. It is Vatican, yeah. Where we just were. When Rob and I went to Italy, we went into the Vatican, but it's going into another country. So we had to use our passports, and we went through x-ray machines because you're literally going into another country, and they check you out. So I want you to see here that in this vision of all these saints, John sees people from every nation. There isn't a nation that's missing. Those 144,000 evangelists have gone out to every nation in the world. They're, by the way, they're virgins. Some have said that the reason they're like the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul was like, you know what? I don't have time for marriage. I don't have time for kids. My focus as a single man is completely for the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And someone has compared these 144,000 are 144,000 Apostle Pauls that are like, hey, we've only got 3.5 years and we're going to preach the gospel. We don't have time to get married or anything else. And so they go out into all the world, which is, by the way, what Israel was supposed to do back in the Old Testament, and they're preaching. And so that's why there's people from every nation, every tribe, which would be every people group. So there's 16,000 people groups. Every one of those people groups has people that get saved. Every language, standing before the throne and the Lamb. Verse 11. All the angels were standing around the throne. And let me see, I got a picture here. Okay, that's the multitude that he sees around the throne. Oh, I like this. They're holding palm branches, which tells me that there has to be palm trees up in heaven for them to get palm branches. You'll see that in verse 9. Boy, verse 9 is a long verse. So at the end of verse 9, they're holding palm branches in their hands. So there's got to be palm trees up in heaven for them to get palm branches. So, and then here's all the angels. So listen what it says about the angels, verse 11. All the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne and worshiped God. I told you that the right way to worship God is to be prostrate. On your face before God. And I don't want to hear you go, well, I don't know if that's, I think you can worship God standing up or sitting down. How did the angels worship God? Those powerful, mighty beings. How do they worship God? They get on their face, okay? So I don't know about you, but when you see the elders fall down and the angels fall down and they get on their face, I have a funny feeling that's where we'll all be too, okay, when we're worshiping the Lord. And they will be saying, the angels would be saying, and this is, by the way, the Apostle John obviously loves seven. This is called the seven praises. So saying amen. Okay, here's the seven praise. Praise, one, and glory, two, and wisdom, three, and thanks, four, and honor, five, and power, six, and strength, seven, be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Then one of the elders asked me, so one of those 24 elders asked the Apostle John, these in white robes, who are they? And where do they come from? I answered, sir, you know. And he said, these are they who have come out of the great tribulation. These are the people that are being saved. These are people that are saved that have been martyred during the tribulation. These are the ones who come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will spread his tent over them. Never again will they hunger, never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat upon them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. So we're specifically told that these are people that from every tribe, language, nation, these are people that came out of the tribulation that the 144,000 Jewish evangelists have led to Jesus, a huge group of people, and were told that they washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb and made them white. In other words, that they gave their heart to Jesus and the blood of Jesus purifies them from their sin. I want to close with Ephesians. Come to the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. A lot of people will get saved during the tribulation. And again, we think that a lot of people, that it will mainly be in the first 3.5 years. By the end of the first 3.5 years, the evangelists are all gone. They're all dead. They're all in heaven. So I want you to note something with me. In Revelation chapter 7, we read that God ordains 144,000 Jewish men to be his servants, to be his evangelists, and he seals them. In Revelation 14, when they're all up in heaven, how many of the 144,000 make it to heaven? Was it 143,999? It was 144,000 that made it to heaven. Does anyone follow that? God put his seal on 144,000, and 3.5 years later, they're all there in heaven with him. He's not missing a one. Does everyone see that? So let me share something. They were sealed, but let me share something that for the believers, our seal. Now we think for the Jewish people that got saved, their seal was the name of the Lamb and the name of the Father on their foreheads. But for the church age, we're in the church age, our seal is a little bit different. And I want to show you this, because it's so encouraging to my heart to realize that just as those 144,000 Jewish evangelists were sealed, that they belong to God, we too are sealed. So let's start in verse 13 of Ephesians chapter 1. It says, "And you also," you, each one of us, "you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation." So all of us at one point heard the gospel. That's the word of truth. And what is the gospel? The gospel is that Jesus Christ came. God became man. He died on the cross for our sins. He was buried, and then he rose from the dead. He is alive. And the payment for our sin, God raised him from the dead, as it says in Romans 1, to prove that our sins were paid for. And that those who give their heart to Jesus, those who believe the gospel, are saved. You're going to go to heaven. So you're included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having what? Believed. So you have to believe in Jesus, okay? Believe the gospel, the good news. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal. Okay, so every person who becomes a Christian, you get a seal, just like the 144,000 did. Except look at what it says here the seal is. A seal, the promised what? Holy Spirit. The seal that we get is the Holy Spirit coming in us, dwelling with inside of us. Now look what it says. The Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. So I want you to understand something. When you go to a store and you say, I want to buy this, okay? I want to buy this microphone. But maybe you don't have all the money or you're not ready, but you go, I want to put a deposit down on that microphone. You realize by law, once you put that deposit down, you own that mic. The store can't just go, oh, we sold it to someone else. Too bad. Once you put a deposit down, you are guaranteeing, hey, I'm buying the mic. Here's a deposit. You can't sell that mic to anyone else. It's mine. I have to go get more money. So, I'm going to give you the money now, and I'm going to go to the bank or get a loan or get more money. But you can't sell that mic to anyone else because I put a deposit down that guarantees that mic is mine. Does everyone understand how the law works? Unless you sign something that changes that. So God comes, and when you believed, God gives you a seal. He puts the Holy Spirit in you, but the Holy Spirit is a deposit guaranteeing that God is going to come and redeem and take you to heaven. Now, there are some people who put a deposit down. Let's say I put a $10 deposit down on this microphone, and then I change my mind. And I go, I don't want to buy it. So I go, I'm not going to buy it. What happens? What could happen with the deposit? I lose it. I lose it. The store gets it because they were like, no, you bought that. And, you know, the penalty is you backed out. You lose the deposit. Okay? Now, look, God gave all of us a deposit, and it's His Holy Spirit. Do you think God can back out of the deal of redeeming you? Did God put down a deposit of money for you? Gold or silver? What's the deposit that God put in you? The Holy Spirit. So do you think God the Father is going to back out and forfeit the deposit? No. Because it'd be like God denying himself, right? It'd be like God splitting with himself. It's like if God, the Holy Spirit would say, hey, wait a second. I am God. I'm the third person of the Trinity. So that's why the deposit of the Holy Spirit is amazing, because God can never deny himself. God can never forget himself. And so just as 144,000 are in heaven that were sealed, so if you are born again, now if you're not born again, you don't have the seal, okay? But if you truly are born again and you believe the gospel, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit that the church will be in the presence of the Lord. Let's bow our heads. And maybe there's someone here this morning, and I think in this service pretty much most of us know the Lord, but maybe there's someone who's not sure. Maybe there's someone here this morning that you need to give your heart to Jesus. I personally think you know when you get saved. And I'll tell you why you know. It's because the Bible says that the Holy Spirit that comes into your heart will testify to your spirit that you have become a child of God. So you know for sure when you are saved, because the Holy Spirit will tell you himself that you are saved. So if you don't have that inner testimony, if you're like, man, I don't know if I am. I think I am. I hope I am. I don't know. I'd be wondering. You should know, because the Holy Spirit himself will tell you. So if you're here this morning and you're not sure, or you don't sense you have that inner testimony, you need to give your heart to Jesus, and you need to ask Jesus to be Savior and Lord of your life. I'm going to pray a prayer out loud, and I want you to invite you to pray with me silently and surrender and give your heart to Jesus. I'll pray out loud, you pray silently. Lord Jesus, I want you to be my Savior. I believe that you came, that you died for my sins, that you were buried and you rose again, that you are alive. And someday in the future, you're going to gather your church. I want to be a believer. And so, Jesus, I open my heart and my life, and I ask that you would come into my life. I ask that you would seal me by giving me the gift of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray for all of those who have given their heart to Jesus this morning. I pray that the Holy Spirit would reveal to them, even now, that they are a son or a daughter of the living God. Lord, we thank you for our salvation. We thank you that you give us yourself as a deposit guaranteeing that we belong to you. Bless us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.